Mayday, mayday, mayday. There's some baddies on this call.
I'm so weak. That's a fun one.
That was good, wasn't it? That was pretty good.
Well, hello, everyone. Wow, it's been a while. It's been a while since we've seen you. It has been busy. I think March just kind of started, and now it's done. And I'm like, all right, that's crazy.
I thought January whooped my ass, and March said, hold my beer.
It's March. I mean, I've always known, like, March and April are those months that are just, it's a killer for everyone, and not just people in, like, education or things like that. Because you remember when elementary school, when it used to be, like, March and April, that used to be testing season. That used to be stressful. And then you go to college, and it's doesn't change. Even you go out and you work a regular day job, it's stressful around these couple months too. So it's just like we're just trying to survive to the end.
Just trying to survive.
Like
everyone crams so many things in those like last 2 months, because May is just insane with, like, especially if you like high school graduation, collegiate graduation, and all these other things start happening. So it's like if you don't get it, you know, within March and April, it ain't gonna happen, probably.
Yeah. And everything piles up in March and April. Like, you know, you might have some tasks at the beginning of the year, like in January and February. You're like, oh, I got time to do it. It'll be fine. Then when it's due in March and April, you're like, oh, wait, I don't got it, actually.
You're talking about taxes.
Yeah, file your taxes, baby.
Taxes is due. When is this going to be released?
So 5 days.
5 days, y'all. This is your notice. 5 days, or the IRS is busting down your doors.
I put those windows at your car.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Actually, but can we just take a moment to talk to Cowboy Carter's release and the discourse that we've been seeing on this?
I literally had a listening party last night, but it was different.
I love that. Like, I've listened to it so many times through to get everything that she put into that. Mm-hmm. And what I will say initially, like, just off the bat, if you come to me and just randomly say, oh, I really don't like Beyonce, know that I know that you're a loser.
Loser.
Don't come up to me and just tell me, or like what is your purpose? Like, the point, what are you trying to help happen by you just randomly being like, I don't like Beyonce? No one cares. Oh, Cookie, do you want that? Like, no one cares at all.
I think because, like, the way I view, like, I am not in the beehive, like, some of my friends, aka the other one, it's called. Like, I love Beyonce, though. I respect her so much as an artist and as a talent. But I think, like, how her career has gone, and how she's, like, she hasn't had, like, a huge misstep that I have known about. Mm. And she's been, like, really good at everything she's done, from pop to, like, now country. Mm. I think people are just haters. And they're like, I don't like her. Why?
And it's not even the fact that you have the opinion of just being like, I just don't care for her music. It's that usually those comments are made with no one else saying anything. It's just like you're just randomly in a room and you're like, I hate Beyonce. Like, it's not quirky. It's not, you're not cool because you're trying to be contrarian. Let people enjoy music they like. And it's so funny how it's always like around Beyonce when these kinds of random comments pop up about, oh, I don't like her, I don't understand why people like her music. Well, then go listen to something you do like and leave us alone. Like, it just really actively annoys me so. And I don't even consider myself a part of the Beehive. Like, I'm a Beyonce stan and I love her, but like Anthony, when I think about Beehive, it's Anthony. Anthony knows everything about that woman. I'm not there yet. I just am someone who enjoys her music and has listened to majority of her music. And I just hate the fact that anytime she releases anything, and it's amazing, and it is amazing, that there's always criticism immediately with like First of all, a lack of knowledge of what her intent was behind the project, and you just don't know her enough. So then there's a lot of assumptions happening, and et cetera, et cetera. And you can acknowledge that maybe it's not your cup of tea, but she is doing a lot for the field in general, especially the idea of blending genres, cross mixing, and not even wanting to label herself a specific way.
I always look at it like that's how you know you're an artist. When I drop something and it just causes people to have conversations, that's how you know you're a true influencer. Like we always hear, especially with the age of social media, where I was like, oh my gosh, influencer, I want to be an influencer. Okay, but Beyonce is the influencer. All she to do is release music that she and her hearts of hearts created, and it has stirred so much conversation, so many on both sides of the spectrum, all this talk about art that is being made. That's how you know you're a true influencer. To the point of like, honestly, if you just say you don't like Beyonce, I'm so fine with that. As a Beehive, I'm fine with that. What I don't appreciate is that you will find anything in her body of work to say, oh, well, she has all these artists ri as writers, so I don't like her music. You've never heard of
It's
collaboration?
collab album.
You've never heard of, or maybe you've never thought about, she's reaching back into a culture and saying, I haven't made it here. Let me bring you to, and not just a culture, but to people that our age range might not even know. I mean, we know Dolly Parton, but she's like, look, I want you to come in 2024 and relive how glorious you was in 1970s. I want you to get that same fame right now. Or I want to reach back to Willie Nelson, bring him, Linda Martell, Stevie Wonder, Nile Rodgers, all of these artists that in the 70s or 60s, 70s, and 80s that were kind of the hidden figures that were writing a lot of music, and a lot of country music was stolen. Rock and roll, too. She's giving back. And what she's also doing is putting the names on the songs. So when it does win a Grammy, those artists also win that Grammy. Because some of these people, the producers, the writers, these people in their day and age never received the celebration. Never. Like, I want to go back to Renaissance. There was an artist named Tina Marie, and only real R&B people, like from a certain generation, would know Tina Marie. Tina Marie died in 2012 or 2011, but she was this fabulous singer. Her and Rick James in the 80s had this the beautiful duos she could sing. And the thing is, Tina, oh, y'all just got to go listen to her music. Like, it's just amazing. She died in 2011. They used the sample on Renaissance. And because the sample, one thing about Beyonce, she's going to credit whose work it is. So on that list of writers was Tina Marie. Guess what? That album won a Grammy. So now Tina Marie's daughter received that Grammy for her mother. First Grammy ever. And Tina Marie in the R&B world is like queen. Like she is one of those girls that, yes, that girl's R&B. But never got the appreciation she deserved while she was living. Think of even artists like Angela Bassett going so long in her career without ever receiving an Academy Award. But then you have this younger artist who's saying, no, we gonna shed light onto your name. So I just wanted to disprove that, oh, there's so many writers. And also think about, oh, first of all, do y'all remember a couple of years ago when SoundCloud was like the biggest thing in the world? And all these people are making beats. Okay, so I'm gonna hear your beat and I'm like, okay, you got potential. Come write for me. And now you have your name on a Beyonce album that most likely will also win a Grammy. So guess what you have now? You have assets, you have money, you have net. So while you were looking at this as if it is something so self-righteous, what I see it as, she's helping people get to another level in life. So that's what angers me. If you don't like Beyoncé, cool, that's fine. But do not sit up there and change your face and move your mouth to pretend like she is not giving back to the things that she is coming from. On to Cowboy Carter specifically. I was scrolling on TikTok and one of the one you know those ads, child, they always come up. There's this white man, he said, Beyonce's album is number one on the country charts. Well, here is what real country sounds like. Go stream my new song. Are you pressed? Are you upset?
Absolutely.
Because what I've also realized about this album is Beyoncé felt truly vindicated from her 2016 performance at the CMT Awards or CMA Awards, how she was not welcome at that award show, and it shows now. Oh, that's not real country. Well, then I need you to tell me what real country is. And look, mind you, me, Michael Lauren, we all have degrees in music and we've all taken music history before. And specifically, when we get to the little part about popular music, we all know that country music started from Black people.
Yes. I teach about it.
Yes.
Literally,
It was
I've
banjo,
taught about it.
yeah.
Literally. So, and then the thing about what country is not what modern day country. That's not that. That is a branch off of what country started. Country started out from the blues, the deltas, by rural Black people. Then it has transformed into what we see today, and the erasure of the Black people, the founders, which happens a lot in music. Like Little Richard writing many songs that Elvis then stole that became very popular. So time and time history tells us that our music, Black music, has just been erased when it goes, and it won't cross the mainstream unless somebody looks, quote unquote, mainstream. So that goes to Cowboy Carter of reclaiming that. What I love is Renaissance reclaimed disco, it reclaimed house music for Black people. This album is reclaiming country music. It's all
Can't
about
wait.
that. And so even when you listen to the tracks, so I will say, Michael, I think me and you talked about this, but it's so funny to me that there are certain demographic of people who are like, I love this album. I didn't really like Renaissance because she wasn't singing. I want you to
Did
listen
you
to
hear it though?
Renaissance again. I want you to, right, take a listen to Renaissance again. First of all, Homegirl was singing. But, and with Cowboy Carter is, she took a lot of her runs off the tracks because that is not country. So what is your definition of singing? And then my last thing, why are you putting these two against each other?
Because
What
one
is
is
that
under.
saying? Because you say, oh, I like Beyonce, blah, 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 blah. Well, to me, I'm looking at you sideways. Again, you can just say you're not a fan. Honestly, as a fan, we don't want you here anyway. And we don't want your think pieces about it too. Like the one girl on TikTok who just keeps saying every single day why she doesn't like Cowboy Carter. Okay.
Okay.
Why are you speaking?
And you're sitting in a little place, and she's sitting in this huge mansion, and she is unbought. Now, here's the one thing. I'm gonna piggyback off of you, Anthony, real quick. Everybody was like, oh my God, the only reason she did Cowboy Carter is like because Jay-Z was like, oh, bump Taylor Swift, you need to make a country album and stuff.
Who said that?
Beyoncé does not care about Taylor Swift. That is not on her radar at all. Let's just take the Atlanta performances. Beyoncé had to add concerts when she came to Atlanta. That's all I gotta say.
That is my
And
first
everything
time hearing
sold out.
that criticism. And you know what? As a fan, as I will proudly say, I am not the biggest fan of Taylor Swift. However, I think she is so smart. I think that she is a strong suit in her own right. And what I need people to do is stop comparing these two because they're not the same. They are not the same. And it's really just people trying to do what they have always done with women, put two and two against each other to make them fight. When time after time, both of them have showed love to each other. So why in the
Yes.
world are you trying to bring something in it that is not even there?
Well, they're trying to pull up the, they're trying to relive the whole Kanye West storming on stage and doing that. I'm like, but that's Kanye.
That's
Did
Kanye.
Beyonce get on, did Beyonce get on that stage and take the microphone? No.
Yes, and the other thing, that little part of Jay-Z said, honey, that's Beyoncé Giselle Knowles Carter.
Right.
Last name, Carter. But she was Beyoncé Giselle Knowles first. She ain't got
Right.
to wait for that man to say nothing. If she wanted to go tomorrow and make a punk rock album, that's what she shall do. She ain't got to
Think
wait
that's
for Jay-Z to do nothing. And honestly, if she released a rap song, a rap album tomorrow, and it becomes bigger than Jay-Z, then that's what she's going to do.
correct.
Simple. Simple as that. But go stream Cowboy Carter. Go
Yes.
stream it because
What?
it's really
And
delish.
I will say it's I was ready for a like we are saying certain demographics to like immediately respond negatively to this album. What has been more disappointing to me has been like black musicians, black artists who even after the album has come out and even after seeing the collaborations that she's done and the work she's put into this album, still criticizing her for this idea of that she herself is making herself bigger than all the like black country history that's come before her. And this idea that she has made her album in the way that she has to make it more like trendy in the sense of like capitalism and gain and personal gain. And like she's centering herself and like overshadowing everyone. So, first of all, here's my thing, hot take maybe. All this talk about capitalism, gaining money, 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 money. If with all the type of people what we associate with who are the millionaires and billionaires in the world, I in the idea of another a black woman from the South gaining money off of her fame, her name, her popularity, her artistry, I'm here for it. You will never ever hear me criticizing Beyonce for playing the game and doing it right, while also understanding the power her platform has and using what she knows is going to be a high-selling album to platform and highlight other artists who are in the genre who've come before, like Anthony just said, for Renaissance. And if you're not able to distinguish those two, then and if you're fine, then that's fine. But then to still try to say that she just by being herself is overshadowing, she didn't do enough. It's always the same thing of she's never doing enough. She put out a 27 track list, and with all these amazing artists, there's no way anyone could fully capture a genre or the idea, even the idea of a genre within one project. She did everything she could intentionally, and I'm sure there was a lot of different routes that her team were going for the project and da da da, let's do this. And the truth is, this is what they came up with. And Beyonce has grown so much through her artistry. And every single time I think she does something, it's even more authentic to who she is then. And so to say that it's 100% like everyone who's been involved with black country music is in this album. No. And I don't think that was her intention. I think, first of all, the fact that people kept saying it was a country album is already set it themselves up for failure because she kept saying, no, this is a Beyonce album. Obviously, with her marketing, what her team was doing, and the roots in it, there is country influences and like those roots there. But she herself has many times been like, dude, like this is a Beyonce album. So if you are still having think pieces and articles that are like, she's doing over excluding, she's doing this. You're just not listening. There's no, I have nothing else to say to you because if you're not recognizing what she has said herself, the artist herself has said, but if you're just saying, oh, because it's labeled as country, I'm going to critique it as a country, like That's what's annoying to me. And that's what makes me the most disappointed, I think, from, again, seeing other Black artists who have criticized and are criticizing her for this about not seeing the big picture. And kind of, because you are honestly giving ammo to the other side. So now they're going to say, look, there's this Black person who wrote this article or who made this TikTok saying they don't like this Beyonce album because it excludes Black people. And now, therefore, we can boycott Beyonce. And you have to recognize that that is the power, your words, your platforms, and you being a Black artist yourself saying this about another Black artist, how that can get turned around. You have to take responsibility for that.
I do
I
want to note
just.
that for those critics as well, Beyonce featured up-and-coming country Black women on this album, as I was mentioning earlier about how she reached back to the generation before. She's also reaching forward to the next generation. So these people, Brittany Spencer, Raina Roberts, Tanner Adele, and Tierra Kennedy are all current and upcoming Black female country artists that up until this point, nobody really had heard of or their feature on this album. So now these women, oh, that people are going to know their names, along with people like what's his name? Shaboozey, which is a Black rap country fusion artist. Guess what? You're gonna see his name everywhere now. So for those critics of saying, well, she's trying to be mainstream. No, she's retaking what was already there, what was already the room. And the last thing about what's so bad about collaboration? When did
Literally,
you start thinking that that was a bad thing?
think back to the Chronic. One of the most lauded albums in rap history. It is all collaboration. Like every freaking track. It's one of the best albums, in my opinion, of rap music. Just because I like that version of rap, that like subset. But like the Chronic is lauded and all these other things, but you let Beyonce do a couple collabs and you're like, it's too many. My thing is also, everybody who thinks Beyonce has to fight to be mainstream, you don't understand her career.
You don't.
Because, baby, she ain't fighting no more. She never fought to be mainstream, but like she's not in that playground anymore. She said at the Super Bowl, go ahead and release it. The Twitter, the internet, the Instagram, the Facebook all went crazy. You telling me she has to fight to be a mainstream?
Honey,
Because everybody was
that's a
on their
bar.
phone on every device trying to find that one track she released that night. And baby, the minute it got released, TikTok
Not.
dances the next.
Tease. Beyonce has not fought to be mainstream since maybe 2011. Because 2013, she released the album overnight and it went an extreme success. She released Lemonade 2016. There was no lead up. It was just boom, and here are the visuals. She
Crazy.
released Renaissance, same way.
Yeah.
And guess what? Even no visuals, still went top. And now
Renaissance.
Cowboy Carter, yeah, went now Cowboy Carter. And it's just like, look, here you go. Like, and she's even said this in her music. I'm not doing this to be played on the radio. Because that's it's done. I've already accomplished that. I've done all these things. This is the music I want to make. This is how I want to make it. And I think people are so, they're so, they find being upset with somebody who won't follow somebody else's path. Like, especially when you go off into your own thing, you find success doing your own little thing, and you not bothering nobody else. I'm just doing me, and I'm beating to my own drum. People have a problem with that. Because it's like, oh, but you're not fitting into the conventional strategies. You're not fitting into how an artist is supposed to be. Isn't from a long time ago. Leonardo da Vinci, did he fit into a box? Did Beethoven, did Mozart, all these people, they were breaking boundaries. That's how your name is solidified within history, because you said, no, this is not how I want to do it. I want to do it a different way. So I asked the question of when did it become such an issue? Well, actually, it's always been an issue for people to break boundaries. And that's how their name is in history. But let me just say, Beyonce, she's not caring about anybody that's thinking. If you think she's caring about a chart, a radio, listen, she's not. She's not.
And also, you've listened to it. The critics out there, you've listened to the album, right? And it influenced you enough to say something, to write articles and think pieces about it, to make videos about it. So therefore, I guess, hey, join
Right.
the
You joined us now.
I don't think people understand, like, first of all, when she was fighting for these little things, that's diva, that's ego, that's when she was trying to get these chart toppers, and then she did it. And then like that self-titled, when did self-titled come out, Anthony?
2013.
And then since then, she
Yeah.
really said, I'm an artiste. I'm doing whatever the fuck I want to do. And that's the thing, like that's what we should be striving artists to do. We should be striving
Right.
artists to cross boundaries. We should be striving artists to like do it. Like I'm Beyonce, if you hear this, please release a rock album. Because I want it, like, don't hurt yourself. Like, give me 27 songs of that. I will buy the tickets first. But like Renaissance, like the impact Renaissance had on our community, if you know, you know. Like the minute that thing came out, every bar, every night, blasting it.
Should.
And they still are. Like it has
Right.
not left. Like it took over some of the standards in the bars and said, this is Queen. We listen to Queen.
Yeah. Also, people are like, this isn't country. The whole purpose of the album is to break the boundary of a genre. Like,
Exactly.
I don't know if you listen to the album, but literally, track, I want to say like seven or eight, Linda Martell says genres is a
Our
construct,
funny
a funny
little
little concept. Like, in
concept.
theory, maybe it would have worked, but what has actually happened in reality is not what it was designed to do. So, y'all are really listening to things and not listening at the same time. Because she says that the whole purpose of the album is to blur the boundaries of a genre. Like, oh, when Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages came out, and they originally put the genre in, I think it was like R&B, and she's like, no, that's country. Those are acts of country.
It.
But also, if you
It.
really listen to the album, the last ending of the album is a blurration of kind of country mixed with still a little bit of house, a little bit of R&B, a little everything, and it goes perfectly into Renaissance.
Renaissance.
Now, real quick, just to, for the classical music people out there. We have lauded Beethoven. We have lauded Strauss. We've lauded all these people that wanted to expand, destroy, and blur the lines of different kinds of music. Like, literally, people are like, oh my God, Strauss did so much for romantic music and so much for the symphony. He strove to destroy every idea of what a symphony was. He said, Beethoven, that's cool. I want to destroy every idea of what a symphony was. And if you look at his catalog, some of the things that y'all call symphonies, he does not call symphonies. But when you put it that way, because you don't look in depth of what he wanted to do, you're just like, oh, Strauss is this mega person. Now, Mahler wanted to embody the symphony and grow it from Strauss and from Beethoven. So y'all over here, like, oh my gosh, Strauss is it, Mahler is it, all this stuff, Beethoven, blah, blah, blah. But like when Beyonce is trying to blur the lines, make a new genre, like not a new genre, but like expand a pre-existing genre and shed light to some of the erasure that's happened. You're like, oh my God, I hate this. And from, coming from the classical music people, baby, no one cares.
Also, let's be honest. Country music is racist.
The what has become the
Modern.
mainstream.
Yes,
Yeah,
let's
modern.
be honest.
I mean, have you heard of Jason Al? Is it Jason Aldean?
I'll try that in a small town or whatever, that song. Is that
No. There's a new woke song. He said,
Oh.
"Y'all too woke me in 2024." Let me find it. Y'all keep y'all resume.
I don't even want to hear it, truly.
Well.
I there's a reason why I don't listen to certain country music and why it has been off so many people's radars for such a very long time, because it's become such a pandering like genre for certain demographics, and it's been very exclusionary to a lot of the artists who that's they have their roots within bluegrass and country and everything. So again, what we should love, especially classical music musicians should love about what Beyoncé has done here, is shown that you can be successful blurring the lines of a certain genre and still have roots within it, but also you're pushing it. You want to expand, you're moving forward. This is what we want to do too. We don't want to just say, I'm a this kind of this, I'm a this kind of this. She's just like, I am me, I am Beyoncé. And that's gonna look different when I at the start versus where I was a year ago versus where I am today. So I don't know, get over it. Like, go
Over.
find something you do like to listen to if you don't like listening to her.
Yeah, if that's not your tea, then go listen to something else. And again, stop with all the think pieces. Like, I don't know how
Is anything
much
for
it
me?
is for you. I know your mama said if you ain't got nothing nice to say, then don't say it.
Right. Don't say it. Now, I will say
Right.
it. So this song is called Go Woke, Go Broke. First of all, he doesn't have the gall to release it under his own name. It's called by Jokes on Wokes. First of all, on Apple Music, it's not even released under Jason Aldean. The first line is, Dear Bud Light, Dear CMT, we were happiest till be, till you caved and bent an E. Good luck coming back from that. They still got money and y'all still look stupid.
Yeah, I that this whole concept of like go woke, go broke actually doesn't work. Because if you consider Beyonce woke and she just did what she did, then it actually there is a financial it proves significantly that if you do go woke, actually you gonna get bank.
Like
Like
I
that's
get banked after they put the little pride flag on it, and everybody was like, I'm not gonna buy Bud Light. Bud Light,
Yes, you did.
the gays will support you. Bud Light said, up.
Right. And then actually, after a while, people forgot about it and they started re-drinking it again. So I'm just kind of like, can y'all hold fast to something? Like, if you're really gonna boycott something, like, do it.
I just had to look something up, and I was just reminded that Jason Aldean is from Macon, Georgia. And
So funny. I hated Lord of Space. So, wow.
to me, what is funny about that is that he went to a private school in Macon, which, if you don't know Macon, Georgia is really like 75% Black, third rest
Yes.
other. So like, you want to run that? You want to run that mess again? Like let's be honest here. But he went to the little Christian private school. That's where
He
all
went
of
to a private
the He went to one of the
I
little
took
Christian private schools
country.
in
I went to a
Macon.
private school.
That's what they do. So it was funny to me because I'm like, we're from the same place. Strange. Anyways. Go stream Cowboy Carter.
I just wish people would chill and know that there's enough space for all of us. Whenever the critiques are needed, right? Critiques are a part of like how people grow, how artists have said a lot of their critiques is how they have grown. But you also have to think about you yourself, you writing that critique. What are you saying about yourself? What are you like? What is the point you're trying to get out there? Because some things you could just say in your head, say it to your friends at dinner, and move on. But using your platform to critique certain artists specifically sends a message, and it'll always be there no matter what. So, anyway, shout out to Beyonce, iconic forever influencer name will go down in history, and all these little fans of yours writing these think pieces, they're just helping you, girl. They're helping you.
They're
So,
helping.
congrats to you. Well, I mean, in general, we have known that criticism has been something that the classical music world knows a lot as well. We've talked so much about how our generation gets critiqued very often, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about this, but the appointment of Klaus Mikkela to the Chicago Symphony, I just briefly want to, because it actually ties into this idea of criticism and like, why would you even say that? If you don't know, Klaus Mikkela has been like a really major conductor. He's only 28 from Finnish, and he's currently the chief conductor of the Oslo Philharmonic and music director of the Orchestre de Paris. And also, I think is taking over for the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra very soon as well. And now he also just got appointed after Ricardo Muti to be the next music director for the Chicago Symphony. Now, if you are unfamiliar with how music directorships work, this has become very normal for modern music directors to have like 3+ different appointments at the same time because their contracts sometimes are like, oh, they only have to be there for 14 weeks out of a year, and then they're doing other guest clinicians. And this is the whole thing is like, mind you, with Klaus being 28 years old, he in no way has influenced this model, right? This has been a model that he was born into, and now that he is there within the system, he is participating in because this is what it is now. Maybe it used to be you were at one place for a long time and that was like normal. Now, that is not the case. And it was not our generations who made these models the way they are. So it's really funny how there are criticisms from, you know, everyone's favorite slip disc, Norman LaBrecque. Every single time I see his name on something, I'm just like, I know this is gonna be some bullshit. And it absolutely was. There have because this is the same group who criticized Yu Xiaowang for like how she identifies with her dressing and whenever she, you know, plays playing piano, she has her little stilettos on, back out, legs out. There's always been criticism and very offhanded criticism that has come from these groups questioning artistry of young performers and young performers who are showing themselves as individuals, which is very much actually in alignment in a lot of the critiques and criticism that Beyoncé has gotten over time from all sides of the coin. And in general, there's already conversations from this critic about how the assumptions that Klaus is not going to be fit for the role because of the amount of work he's doing. And I just, again, think it's so funny how there are already assumptions of how he's going to fail and he hasn't even begun yet. So there's just a lack of, I think, grace that I have seen being shown to a lot of the younger generations, especially the ones who are kind of carving their own paths and really doing the thing. And it's very, it's disappointing, first of all. It's not discouraging because I feel like we've known that we were going to get critiques and we've gotten critiques. We've all been, you know, talked our age and how maybe we're moving too fast and all these. We've all been there on an individual and a group basis. And so to constantly see this criticism also happening to major people in the industry who have done so much, who have proven themselves time and time again, and still are being questioned whether or not they're actually capable of doing the job. Again, I say to those critics, what are you real? What is your the purpose of it? Is it just to start discourse? Is it to like just show? Like, is it jealousy? I'm not sure. A lot of it feels sometimes like personal, like inadequacy. There's something about you yourself that you know you can't achieve that when you see these younger generations and younger people doing it and they're doing it intentionally and genuinely and being given accolades and affirmations that they're doing the right thing, that they're doing their influencers not only within their generation but outside of their own generations. Why does that bother you so much?
Because they feel like they should have got the, they feel like they know who should have got the job. Or they feel
Right.
like their generation who owns that, because Moody was so old. They're like, okay, they need someone here with this. Like, I remember talking to people, I'm like, oh my God, it's gonna be so interesting who takes over LA, who takes over Chicago. Maybe there can be some cool changes, AKA American conductors. I'm sorry. I know this whole thing spawned from Europe, but let's stop. Like,
Right.
please, freaking stop. Like,
And
if
that
we're so famous, it's because he was
yeah.
American. He transcended this.
And that brings a whole other conversation of like there have been critiques of why we have so many, because Klaus is Finnish, right? And there is a whole conversation to had about the fact that we're not giving a lot of American conductors a chance to begin with. That is a conversation. So all these crit I'd rather the energy goes towards changing the systems rather than attacking individuals on an individual basis. Because if you have an issue with the fact that our music directors are only there 14 times a week, then let's fucking change it. Let's talk about it. Let's get more American conductors on the podium. But you just going after someone, an individual who is just doing their best and trying to do their own thing, don't get mad at them that the system is rewarding them in the way that you hate.
Correct. And I forgot to answer your earlier question. They're mad because he's so young and whooping everybody's butts. Like the Royals,
Right.
Concert Gabau is like one of the
Crazy.
best orchestras in the world. And then
Top.
like Chicago is a great orchestra and he landed both. But people ain't talking about Yannick being too young or doing too much when he is the Metropolitan Opera conductor. He's the Philadelphia Orchestra conductor. And he has an orchestra in like a Montreal Day Orchestra. He's an orchestra in Montreal, I think. Like he has three. But you ain't talking about that.
Yeah.
Think it's
But you're
because
talking this.
people don't think that young people can achieve such high art, such grace. They have to go through something before they can have an opinion. How are you going to tell somebody their journey to where they are today? Because although your journey might have taken 60 years, my journey could have been in the last 5 years of my 26 years being on this earth that has been way more living than you ever have in your 60. So it is not a timeline thing. It is not 1 year, 2 year, 3 year in a sequence that way. That's not how life works. We all know people by the age of 30, they have lived a life. They have lived life. And so you're going to tell that 30-year-old that they don't know what life is because they're just 30 and you're 60?
Oh, let me stop.
I just like, I'm always reminded, and this is why, I mean, I think all of us, we're in agreement here. When something like this happens, like Klaus, and the criticism comes out of him being older, I just literally remind my, like, get reminded, like, everybody, once they like, everybody, I tell them my age. Cause they're like, so Michael, you're like 31, 32, 25. I know I look old and do a lot. And they're like, but you're doing so much. I'm like, I know. I chose to live this life.
What do you want me to do? That would
Like,
be my question. Because then, if I wasn't doing anything, you would just say, oh, y'all are lazy. Y'all don't want to do
exactly.
anything. I need you to make a
Right. What do
profit.
you want? What do you want from us?
But y'all making everything so expensive, we got to do everything to afford life.
Right. So all this to say, congratulations to Beyonce and Klaus for all the conversation and commotion you've started, for your appointments and the achievements you're making.
Right.
And I cannot wait to see again just how much influence these amazing artists who are really just doing their thing and trying to pave a way for themselves and others in the industry. Keep doing it.
Keep
Keep
doing it.
doing it, So, go listen to Cowboy Carter if you have not already, and give it, it's a little fun. It's a fun ride. There's a beautiful, beautiful little moment she has in there that points to other, again, other genres,
Oh,
and even
classical
little
music. Forgot
there's
to do that. There's an aria.
yes. There is the aria, yes, that's in there. So just go find all those little Easter eggs. And if you don't enjoy it, that's fine. You at least tried something, and that's great for you. So, anyway, we will catch y'all next time. Have a good week. Bye bye.